Hello, this is Autumn Miles back with you, the Autumn Miles Show. How are you doing out there? Happy Tuesday to everyone, if it is a Tuesday, because we understand that you listen to us on podcasts and YouTube, and it might be, you know, a Thursday or a Friday. So happy whatever day it is that you are listening to this. This also happens to be Father's Day week this week. But again, might be listening some other time. We are highlighting men this week. Man, I feel like our media, Rick Walker is back with me. Welcome to the show, Rick.
It's good to be here. Thank you.
I'm sorry. I'm just like ready to get into everything.
I'm ready too. We got a great show.
Yeah. I feel like our men have been so abused by media, sitcoms.
And emasculated.
Totally.
Yeah. We have been, as a society, I think men have been emasculated.
They totally have.
Yeah.
And we are for the men here today. We did a week on moms around Mother's Day, mm-hmm. and really promoted and hopefully supported and gave some really awesome practical advice for different types of mothers. Yesterday in our show, if you didn't catch it, I want you to go to our YouTube and watch it. We had John Youngblood on the show, and he talks about being a godly stepfather and how you can be a godly stepfather.
Great show.
It's such a balancing act, mm-hmm. but it can be done successfully, and he is such a good example of that. Today, we are going to talk to one of my dear friends. His name is Chad Holmesley. Welcome to the show, Chad.
Hey, Autumn. How are you?
Good. Now, Chad has been my friend for a while. I have lots of friends.
You do. You're very friendly. The Bible says to have friends, you must be friendly.
That's right.
Proverbs.
I try to be friendly. But you know what? Chad and his wife, we had Lisa on a couple of weeks ago, and she talked about her struggle with infertility as a facing Mother's Day mom without a baby. And I felt like, in order for us to sort of get the whole picture, I wanted to have Chad to come on the show, which is her husband, to talk about, you know, the father who wants a child without a child, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. struggling through fertility. And we got a lot of response from Lisa's show. I know that show really struck a chord with those women out there that have had miscarriages. I mean, lots of women have miscarriages, mm-hmm. On a regular basis, and it's very hard for them to get pregnant. And Lisa shared her story of that, and the fact that you know, they've sort of wanted a kid for a long time. So Chad, I know that you will encourage lots of people with your story today, but why don't you, I just gave a small recap, why don't you give a little recap about how you sort of met your wife and this beginning struggle with infertility?
So we've been together since high school. We've been together for over 20 years. We will be married 15 in June, and you know, we've always wanted to have kids. I think as you process through being married and getting married and just the idea of it, I mean, I think what comes to mind is you get married, you're married for maybe a year or two, you know, ideally you're married for a year or two, and then you have kids, and then, I mean, that's just the progression of life. And so that's what we thought we were going to do. Like, we got married in 2001, and we were having fun, just kind of being on our own. But we knew we wanted to have kids. And I think if anybody remembers Lisa talked about, like, she had dreamt of being a grandmother when she was a little girl. Like, not just a mom, but a grandmother. Mm. And I can't say that I dreamed about being a grandfather. Like, but I did, you know. I saw my parents. I saw my grandparents. They were married. I mean, my grandparents had 13 grandchildren. So just the natural progression of life was we were going to get married a year or two down the road. We were going to have kids. You know, we'd probably have 3 or 4 kids, something that, you know, ideally is what everybody hopefully wants to have. And then, you know, 2 years came and went and no kids. And now 15 years have come and went and no kids. But the desire to have children has never stopped.
Chad, I'm curious, that moment when you guys said, let's try to have kids, and all of a sudden things aren't happening, you're not getting pregnant. What was that moment when you found out, oh, we're having an issue here? How did that affect your feelings, your wife's feelings? What did you go through?
You know, so when Lisa was 19, she was diagnosed with PCOS, which is polycystic ovarian syndrome. And we just knew that PCOS, it's very hard to get pregnant with PCOS. So we kind of knew going into being married, we got married when she was diagnosed at 19. We got married when I was 23 and she was 22.
Okay.
So we kind of knew that it was going to be an uphill battle, but we didn't think that it was going to be impossible, right? Because we trust God and we believe God is the God of the possible. And so we just knew that, you know, that God had placed the desire to have kids in our heart and we love kids. And so I don't think we got to a moment where we were like, why are we not having kids? We knew it was an uphill battle, but you know, it becomes trying, right? Mm. It becomes trying. So
yeah.
I get tested, she gets tested. You know, I was really like in the back of my mind, I was really, really hoping that she would get tested and it wasn't her fault that it like that I would be tested. And like, it was something on my side because she already had PCOS on her side. So in the back of my mind, I was really hoping that maybe it was on my side. That way she wouldn't feel like she was to blame for it.
Mm. Oh man, this has been, now they've been friends of ours for a long time, but we've sort of walked with them through this journey. And I remember some of the with the PCOS, there comes a lot of things with that. And you know, your infertility to the listeners could come from many different things. You know, this just happened to aid in Chad and Lisa's infertility. But I remember walking through those things. And Chad, I mean, one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on the show to talk about this is that we hear from the woman's perspective more than we hear from the man's. As a matter of fact, I don't think I've ever heard of a man really speak out on an infertility issue, and here you are supporting your wife and sort of navigating this with her, and I've seen you do it exceptionally well. Chad and Lisa have a great marriage. They've been married for a really long time. Talk me through a little bit how you have sort of comforted Lisa over the years, and no doubt there are men that are listening that are going through the same thing.
Well, you know, I think to Rick's question earlier, like when we found out, like I believe that we kind of went through a mourning process really early on in the stage. Like we were mourning the fact that we couldn't have kids, and it's sad, right? I mean, I look at my nieces and my nephews, and my one of my nieces is 12 years old, and I think to myself, like, we could have a 12-year-old, right? And so I in the back of my mind, I wonder sometimes, like, I wonder what they'd be like, right? I wonder what my 12-year-old son or daughter would be like. But I think we went through the mourning process early, and so as we continue to walk through infertility, and we're going through fertility treatments right now, that I need to be more patient with Lisa. I need to be more patient. I always want to fix something. I think as a guy, I just want to fix something and I can't fix this.
Yeah.
It's not something that I can, I can't go down to Home Depot, get some tools and fix it.
Which is hard. That goes against our nature.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. We see a problem, got to fix it. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. And I think early on in our marriage, like, you know, I think as you learn to be married and learn to process through everything, that's what I tried to do. I tried to fix everything. It was like, we have to find the best doctor. We have to find the right treatment. Like we have to eat this one way because maybe this would help. And I think versus trying to fix everything, I think sitting and listening, and there's times where Lisa, we still, like, we got our first positive fertility test that we've ever had, and we were super, super excited, but we knew that the baby probably wasn't going to survive, and so to rejoice with her in that and to praise Jesus that it can happen, but then to also sit back and just be sad together and comfort her and love her and just tell her it'll be okay. And no matter what, God's plan will be accomplished.
Yeah.
So,
And you know, just listening, you said earlier, I mean, that's powerful, because to overcome that urge to fix it. And I remember, Autumn, I may have shown you this a couple years ago, one of the most poignant videos I've seen about male-female dynamics, this woman and man, husband and wife, they're sitting on a couch, and it's a close-up of the woman. She's like, I just have this pain in my head, and it's just killing me, and it just feels like it hurts. And he's looking at her, and the camera zooms out, and he goes, well, honey, you have a nail stuck in your head. And it shows a picture of a nail in her head. And she goes, that's not the point. You're not understanding. You're not. And it was really funny. As I'm explaining it now, I need to show
you. I didn't know where you were going with that.
But, and he goes, I'm so sorry, honey. And he goes, that must be very painful. I'm so sorry. And he just started listening. And she's like, oh, I feel so much better. Thank you. And our urge is to grab the nail, rip it out, and let's get this done. But that's hard to not be able to do that and to just sit there and love and just to listen and say, I am so sorry, honey, and I'll mourn with you. So how did you overcome that urge to fix and actually do that, just to sit there and love?
You know, Rick, I still struggle with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I still want to go, and it's like, okay, like, we've got a really great doctor now, and like, we're walking it through, but what can we do? Like, let's eat something different. Let's go to the gym.
The moon is full.
Like, there's gotta be, let's drink this water.
Yeah.
Like, there has to be something, right?
Yeah.
Like, I constantly still fight that urge, to fix it. But I think, you know, I think being together for 20 years, I think being married for 15 years, I think you start to understand your spouse a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think I still have a lot to learn, but just trying to be patient and trying to listen to the things that she tells me to, like ask me to do. Like, just don't fix it for me. Like, let's process through this. Let's talk through this together.
So practically speaking, listening is a big, we have four kids, Chad, as you know, and Rick and everyone. And listening is a big deal in our marriage too. I'm like, just listen to what I'm saying.
I'm sorry. What?
Yeah.
Oh my, you're fine.
Yeah. Sorry. Bad joke.
But you know what? You guys have really clung to the Lord during this process as well. And, I've seen such strength and really such growth through this. It's interesting to me, you know, Lisa sort of dreamed about being a mom, you know, super early on. I mean, who dreams about being a grandma when they're 19, you know, not a lot of people. So this has been her dream, and for God, you know, sort of to delay this dream, you know, what have you learned from the Lord during this process?
You know, it's funny. Like, I grew up going to church, right? I grew up, my mom and grandma took us to church, and I always knew that you had to read your Bible, right? Be a good Christian. You have to read your Bible. And I can't say that I did when I was a kid, you know, and the older I get and the more trials that we walk through, I want to read my Bible. I want to see what God says about infertility. I want to see what God says about loving my wife. I want to see what God says it looks like to be a godly husband and a godly man. And I always think of Abraham and Sarah, and I pray that I'm not 98 years old when God delivers us a child. But if I am, like, then it's God's timing and it's God's plan, and God has a reason to do that. But I look at the trials that different men have gone through in the Bible, and if God can love them and bless them in the trials that they've gone through, then He can absolutely love me and bless me in the trials and the walk that I walk through.
It's interesting. You also, in the pre-production meeting with the team, you talked about Mother's Day a little bit. Why, talk us through Mother's Day a little bit, because I feel like this will really resonate. Yeah.
We both have amazing mothers. Lisa and I both have amazing moms. And so I preface the statement with that before I say, I absolutely, when we started dealing with this issue, I hated going to church on Mother's Day. I hated that it would just crush Lisa, like just crush her. And so, like, I would, every Mother's Day, we'd get up and get ready to go to church. And it's like, babe, let's do anything else, right? We live in Phoenix. I'll drive 6 hours to Disneyland. I don't care. Like, let's do that over going to church.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't sit there and it's not the church's fault, but like they would recognize mothers, and it's great that they would recognize mothers. And so
it's
moms
like rubbing salt in the wound,
they would flowers and everything like that. Mm-hmm. But then I start thinking about what about all of the women that are sitting in the audience, especially my wife, right? Because I mean that's who I'm tied to, like, but who are dealing with fertility issues, and like my wife would just sit there and sob. And I could just put my arm around her and love her. But like, I hated Mother's Day. I hated it. And not because of mothers and not because we went to church on Sunday, but I hated it because how much it crushed my wife.
It's interesting because I think you also said it didn't bother you. Father's Day didn't bother you as much.
Yeah.
It was just the Mother's Day.
So I have a question. You know, there's in physician terms, there's people with chronic pain, which it's always there underlying. And then there's the acute pain where it just, it gouges you. It takes your breath away. And these moments where she's going through the acute pain in her life where Mother's Day, what did you do? I mean, how did you comfort your wife during these times or someone makes a comment, hey, do you guys have kids? Or these little acute pain moments? What do you do?
Yeah. So, I mean, for Mother's Day, you know, I think all I could do, like going back to the fix thing, all I could do is sit there and put my arm around her and tell her I love her. Mm-hmm. Like, I love you and God loves you and God has a plan and that's where we're at. In terms of people asking us if we have kids, that's hard, right? I mean, people ask you, there's three questions that people ask you. The first question is, how long have you been married?
Yeah. How many kids you have?
You say 15 years, and then, do you guys have kids? No. Mm-hmm. And then the third question is, do you like kids?
Oh, yeah.
So, and that's,
really?
I don't say that to like be mean to people, but that right there, those are the three questions that we always get. Mm-hmm. And now that we've been dealing this for 15 years, like, I want to be silly, right? And I'm going to be like, no, kids are so expensive. We don't like kids, you know, or something else. But, it's how you kind of numb the pain. Say, like, how do you answer that question? You know what I mean? Like, you answer it, we've been married for 15 years. We don't have children, but yes, we do love children, and we desperately want children.
So
You can only say that so many times. You answer all
three questions in one sentence.
Without a breath. Just that's one, all the English teachers on the radio are not liking me right now. It's one big sentence with a period at the end.
Big run-on sentence.
So what would be a good way? Like, because honestly, when I met Chad and Lisa, they've been married a long time at that point. I think it was like 7 or 8 years at that point. And I think we asked, you know, because inevitably oh, you're married for 7 years?
Normal conversation, Any kids?
Like, I'm kind of looking around for, you know, someone. Mm-hmm. I think we asked that. And as someone that's doesn't struggle with this issue, how should we be sensitive to this issue in fertile couples?
Yeah, you know, I don't have an answer for that, right? I don't think that those questions are bad. I think it's the context of how you ask the question. Like, you know, when you get to the third question, it's like, it's how you say, do you want kids? Like, it's the inflection.
I feel like, do you like kids is insulting. Do you like
someone? Right, right. So I think it's the inflection. I think people need to be aware that, yes, there's a subset of people in the world that they don't want kids, and that's okay. Like, that's their decision. But I think that there's a large subset of the world that there may be an issue in why they can't have children. And so I think before you move to that third question, like, maybe process through that a little bit more before asking that question.
Yeah. That's advice. Good wisdom. Good advice.
What? Did you have something to say?
Oh, I've got lots of stuff
to say. Okay, fire at him.
Well, I'm just curious, looking into the future now, I mean, it's been 15 years, and I know people have talked to you about adoption Or alternative, you know, being a foster parent. Have you got, where are you looking towards the future? Because there's probably that pressure of, okay, you know, I'm so many years old, my kid will be graduating 18 years down the road. That'll make me do the math. At what point, I mean, where are you guys at on the timeline?
So we've been going through fertility since November. There's been a number of reasons why we started and then stopped, and then God brought a wonderful opportunity in a new role with a new company with me, and they actually pay for fertility treatment. So we started in November.
Okay.
We're probably through our sixth round of fertility treatment. So we actually go and meet with our doctor on Tuesday. And I think that there she's going to suggest like the last and final process, which is in vitro.
Yeah.
And so like I think we're gonna be up against that on Tuesday and have to have that conversation. Mm-hmm. Adoption and fostering runs very, very heavily on my wife's side of the family, and fostering and adoption have never not been on the table. Mm-hmm. We have always wanted to do that, but it's always been in hopes that we would have our own biological child first. But that's not to say that something like that couldn't be on the table. We're going to start fostering classes in June. So we want to start walking that process and seeing, you know, where God directs us. Mm-hmm. So.
It's awesome that you're looking to the future. I want, you know, what spurs this hope, Chad? 15 years, that's a long time. And a lot of people would have given up and thrown in the towel before 15 years. But what are you constantly thinking about to sort of keep this hope alive?
It's very, very cliche, but it's Jesus. Like, it's, we constantly, like, if we didn't have our faith to cling on to, I don't know what we would cling on to. I think so many times, so many marriages fall apart because of this, right? Because the husband or the wife blames each other, like why they can't have kids, and the kids make up the family, and that's what a family looks like. And so they see one another, they seek one another as like the savior of their relationship, and we constantly fall back to our Lord and Savior, and that's what we cling to. We cling to that. My wife's talked about Esther and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and a statement that even if I perish, when Esther had to go before the king, and we say the same thing. Even if we never have kids, we know that God loves us and wants the best for us. And that's what we cling to.
That is not just a Bible school answer. I feel like sometimes people are like, Jesus. But yeah, I have definitely seen them walk that out. You know, we've got 2 minutes, Chad, actually a minute and a half now. Tell me, I'm struggling with fertility, 15 years. What is your, in this minute we have left, what's your most powerful advice that you can give to a man who struggles with fertility with his wife?
Compassion and patience. I think again, you fall back as a man, we want to fix everything. We want to go to Home Depot, get the right tool and fix the problem. And I think we need to have compassion and patience, in the situation, but above all else, I think you need to look to God and pray, be on your face and pray, and just ask for direction. And even if it doesn't work, like, know that you're loved far more than you can imagine.
He is the God that created life in Mary, and
yes,
he is the God that created life in Sarah.
I can't wait to interview Chad in a year when he has his baby.
Amen.
That's going to be awesome.
That's right.
So
I'm looking forward to that as well. We're definitely believing. And I would just say, you know, it's been a privilege and an honor, Chad, as your friend, to support you in prayer and to sort of stand in the gap for you. And I think, you know, sometimes we don't struggle with infertility, but, you know, people, if there are someone around you that is struggling with that, ask them how they're doing. Get in their life. Support them in prayer, and you know, give them some dinner if they need, if they've gotten a bad doctor's report or something like that. I know it's been our honor to do that for you. Thank you so much, Chad, for being on the show. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Chad.
All right, and thank you for listening. We'll see you back here tomorrow, right here on the Autumn Mile Show.